Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I'm here with Jason Will, CEO of Zipkick fame, worldwide Zipkick fame. But you guys are going to find out about that in a minute. I think Jason's a big deal. I mean, just to be honest with you, he's one of those people that you have in your tribe, so to speak. So I don't know if you guys know what a tribe is, but just someone that you're, you know, always, you know, once you're introduced to, you kind of figure out ways to work together. And I think we've done that over the last several years. We'll get into that about how we met and things like that. But first and foremost, I always have some housekeeping notes I got to go through. Right. So one is my contact information. Russell at russellofhotels.com is my email. You can hit me up on Twitter at Russell of Hotels, IG Russell of Hotels. I'm trying to be cool. IG, I said IG, right? that's Instagram for your old people, you know, that don't know what IG is. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond, which is my government name, just in case you didn't know that. Facebook, I have two Facebook pages, Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. And then I have a website, www.russellofhotels.com. After the live broadcast, just in case you guys didn't know, this is a live, we're live from Sherman Oaks, fourth floor building, where LA Talk Radio is. That's our station here. So we are live here, but after it's recorded and it becomes a podcast, and you can, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find Russell of Hotels. Also, I just want to go through a quick run through what is the Russell of Hotels Group. Well, it's comprised of several different things. Hotel site selection is one, where I have clients that need assistance with meetings and things like that. So I assist them with finding the hotels. I do the legwork for them. Doesn't cost my clients anything to do that. Digital marketing via social media, things that I do that primarily for hospitality folk, that's hotel, restaurants, tourism. Hotel and destination, video producer. If you look at any of my sites, any of my platforms that I'm kind of on, I do a lot of videos, things like that. In fact, last count was well over 100. And then I have a radio show, which is On Air with Russell of Hotels, where I talk to hospitality professionals. I interview today's hospitality professionals. And Jason is no exception, although he made it clear that he's a tech dude, and he supports the hospitality endeavors. I said, okay, well, whatever works. Once again, I want to thank Ms. Cheryl Rogers, meeting professional from last week's interview. Great interview. I still keep hearing people give me calls and saying, who is this Cheryl? She was great. She was this. She was that. So Jason, you have some big shoes to fill from that, from last week.
I've got 13, so I'm ready.
Oh, there you go. There you go. And then Cheryl is a Smart Meetings rising star as well. So, which is a good thing. And we were at a Smart Meetings meeting last week. Thank you, Marin Bright, for doing such a great job. Marin is the CEO of Smart Meetings, and it's always great. Always a great time. Just always done top notch, very professional. We do appreciate that, us in the hospitality industry. Today is Fat Tuesday. Just in case you didn't know, happy Mardi Gras to my boys out in, or my boy out there Monday out in New Orleans. And then tomorrow, just a little quick plug, California Lodging Investment Conference starts tomorrow. That's my good friend Craig Sullivan, who heads that organization out in Orange County. So that is tomorrow. It's called CLIC for short, but it's California Lodging Investment Conference. Now, intro of the man, Jason Will. Jason Will, CEO of ZipKick. What is ZipKick? Well, we're about to find out. But ZipKick has to do with back when I came involved with ZipKick. ZipKick was in the trying to be in the hotel space, but it then quickly said, you know what? This is not a good, let's get our foot, a foothold in the industry somewhere else. And he went through food. So, which is good, because I'm all about, if you're not staying at a hotel, you need to be eating some food. So there you go. Without further ado, I want to introduce Jason Will.
Russell, thanks for having me, man. And it's been a while. I realized we probably met, my guess, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right.
And you've seen everything from the beginning all the way up into the present. And, you know, we were introduced by a close friend of mine in Minnesota.
Yes.
So, you know, it just shows you that, you know, the world is a small place and it gets smaller, I feel.
Yes,
like,
it is.
Day.
And that guy wouldn't take no for an answer. And he said, you got to meet this guy, Jason. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Luke Miller.
Yes.
Luke Miller. Luke Miller was a guest in my hotel. I was a general manager at the Sportsman Lodge Hotel. And Luke was there on business. And we kept running into each other. And we just kind of just had this conversation, and he said, hey, you need to meet my guy. Because at that time, I was doing kind of some consulting work, if you will, for an app by the name of Smart Layover.
Oh, that's right.
And I mentioned it to him, and he said, you know what? I have a friend that's doing something similar to that. You need to, you know, get hooked up or whatever. So he did a e-introduction, and then next thing you know, and I remember it was a Monday night, at like 9 o'clock at night, because I was watching Monday Night Football, yeah. And you wanted to have a meeting. I said, who has a meeting at 9 o'clock on Monday night during Monday Night Football? Well, now that I know this guy, that is not, this is how this guy operates.
It's so funny because I should start looking at the calendar for like holidays and birthdays and all this sort of stuff. But for me, 7 days in the week and there's 24 hours in the day.
Yeah,
and for me,
if it's
open on the calendar,
exactly.
For me, it's a meeting time.
You talk about driven. I mean, you look at driven in a dictionary, you see the definition and you see a picture of Jason Will, because this dude, I mean, he burns it at both ends. He's been on the grind for a long time. And I mean, not real quick, but tell me about how you, because the story about ZipKick just from this infinite stages is interesting. So how did you start, or what made you think about ZipKick?
Well, what really started to happen was
what does that mean?
Oh, it's that's an interesting story in and of itself. But the first thing is that how do you kind of birth a concept, right? I think in general, everybody has a lot of ideas. And then ultimately, how do you get ideas on paper and get action, right? And I often hear from people, oh, I have such a great idea. I have so many ideas. I don't know where to start. I'm just like, just start, mm-hmm. Right? Nobody really knows how to start a company for the first time. It's you go through the motions. You go through the pain points. You grow. You evolve. You learn different things. You meet different people. And your eyes open up to where the opportunities are. But the whole idea really started was from my time at Accenture. So I was working at Accenture based out of Chicago at the time. I had moved from the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and I went down there in 2010. And what we call in the industry is a road warrior, right? So this is somebody who's traveling 4 days a week. So you do the Monday commute from your home city on first thing Monday morning. Then Thursday afternoon, late afternoon, you go back to your home city. But I was doing this every single week. And what started to dawn on me was, why am I really my own travel agent, right? Why isn't there a platform that's smart enough to predict a little bit more about me, and the fact that I travel every Monday and I come back every Thursday and I book the same hotel, and like, you can pick up on these things that happen time and time again. And I wanted to do something about it. So we actually, the first creation of really how ZipKick started was in the hotel industry, and it was a personalized way to search and book hotels. To me, it's still some of the best technology that I've ever seen. And I don't say that from because we built it. It's just because of how intuitive it was, and just the predictability and the ease of how it allowed people to actually understand what they wanted without necessarily knowing what they wanted when they first came in, right? And, you know, the days of searching on Kayak or Expedia or Orbitz or anything like that, it's just, it's kind of the same commodity, right? It just comes down to price. So it's how do you quickly get somebody qualified for the right thing, and then they'll book it. And so I started getting deep into that industry. But the one thing about the travel hospitality industry that has to change going forward, and the reason why we shifted out of that hotel concept, is because the access to data is just too expensive. And when you take a look at these, you know, industries that have been around for a long time, hotels being one of them, flights, you know, car rentals, all this kind of stuff, there's a lot of data that's kept and preserved, and people don't want to open up that box unless you want to pay them a lot of money to license it. So there's just a significant barrier to entry in the travel space as a startup company, especially a bootstrap startup company, for that matter. And, you know, we had raised some money through friends and family, and I didn't want to jeopardize their money on top of my own by being in an industry that was so cost prohibitive over the long run. So ultimately, we shifted out of that, and, you know, ZipKick really has taken on a whole different world of sorts as it is today. But we've really dialed it in, and I'm pretty happy with where we're at.
No, I am too. I was kind of disappointed when you called and told me that, you know, we're going a different direction. I'm like, what?
And it's not easy to go in a different direction, right? Like, nobody wakes up and goes, oh, we're going to go in a different direction, this is going to be easy.
Exactly.
No, like, exactly. Everything that you worked for, everything that you built, everything that you, you know, in terms of your relationships, all this other kind of stuff, like, you kind of have to start over, right? And for me, that's the lesser of the two challenges of building something that is very difficult to scale over the course of time. And that cost prohibitive nature of that business would just continue to always be the case, right? So you sweep a little dust under the rug, but that doesn't mean the dust is just going to go away at some point in time, right? So, you know, for us, it was a lot easier to just make a hard decision early on and then really tweak things and then get into a sweet spot. And, you know, thank God, the last 2 years have been absolutely incredible. Like, especially the growth that we've experienced over the last 6 months now with what ZipKick is today. And, you know, hopefully we'll get into more details of what ZipKick is today.
No, we are, because I'm about to ask you, what is ZipKick today? And you never addressed the name ZipKick.
So believe it or not, I had moved to San Francisco in 2012 from Chicago. And I met a guy there from the Midwest, and I came to him with this idea, and we started kind of hashing it out. And he had a roommate at the time that he was nice enough to let stay there on his couch, because that's just San Francisco, right? Like, housing's very expensive. If you're kind of a broke, bootstrapped entrepreneur, you kind of help out the fellow person. And so he had some technical skills, and we said, hey, well, we're going to put you to work, because you're staying here for free. We're going to put you to work. So we started brainstorming some names. We came up with five names. Four of them were terrible. And I can say that now because ZipKick is awesome. But I came up with two of those four terrible names. And then the other guy came up with two of them. And then the third guy came up with ZipKick. And, you know, what's really fascinating is I remember the first time I heard ZipKick, I looked at the guy and I go, what? Like, but over the course of time, there's so many things that ZipKick as a name is so powerful, right? It's not getting lost in translation. When you search for ZipKick online, it's us, and it's a move that Batman does in a video game or something like that. Like, those are the only two times you see ZipKick, which I assume is like him coming down a zip line and kicking, is what I only could imagine what ZipKick is in another context. But ZipKick as a company has a really like lasting impression on people when they hear it and they want to know more, and they really want to know what is it about and where did it come from and what do you guys do and this sort of thing. And now that we've been mentioned, I don't know, 120, 130,000 times on Instagram alone, it's a pretty strong brand. And what's funny is if you go to Google today and you type in ZipKick, companies are actually advertising against us as a keyword.
That means you're doing the right thing.
I think that means that you're onto something.
Yeah, so. No, definitely, definitely. Okay, what does ZipKick do?
So when we started shifting a few years ago, what I started recognizing is that the first part that we started in was influencer marketing. And the reason why we started there is, first of all, I think it's building a community around your brand is a very essential piece of how you start a company, no matter what that company is, but especially around social media and the network effect that comes with building a company that's inherently social, that is the strongest word of mouth, what I call kind of that digital recommendation. And by building that as a company, that really is going to help extend your organic footprint online. So I'd like to kind of go back to actually when we started talking, okay, because we were one of the first companies, and I'm not aware of any other companies back then that took this route, but I found a guy by the name of Scott Eddy, who you're awfully familiar with, and he was living in Thailand at the time, and what really caught my attention about somebody on social media was, you have a large audience that wants to hear what you have to say, and they trust you, and people want to work with you. And me, coming from the tech side, I didn't have that same voice to that audience. So when I reached out to Scott, I said, Scott, do you want to be our brand ambassador? And nobody had approached him to this degree and you know, put them as a board member of a company and really put them as, you know, the forward-facing part of what we were going to do. And I was all in. And I remember when I talked to Scott, talked twice on Skype, and then I booked a one-way ticket for him to go from Thailand to San Francisco. And I picked him up from the airport. He had all of his luggage, all this kind of stuff. And we just hit the ground. Like, the second we met, I was like, this guy's going to be my life forever. And no matter what capacity, you know, we ebb and flow and whatever over the years, like, I know that this is the guy that I definitely want in my life. And it was very mutual. But the reason why I bring that up is because when ZipKick was an idea and we wanted to take it to market, we needed immediately to build a community around our brand. And by bringing Scott in as a brand ambassador, we inherited his trust and his network within that audience that we wanted to build our company around. Mm-hmm. And this is the part that I think a lot of people should take note when you're building a company or you're trying to evolve a company is that it's all about the trust, and you need to find the influencers that have a significant influence online, and you need to integrate them into your brand. So ZipKick started in the influencer space, but ZipKick is actually, you know, from a modern day concept, our entire vision for the company is to do multi-channel marketing in one consolidated place with an easy to deploy dashboard in front of you. So if you're a company that's doing SEO or digital ads or influencer marketing, social media management, all this kind of stuff, a lot of companies, that's a one person show, which that's not a one person job. I mean, it takes today, if you're going to do marketing correctly at a company, you need 4, 5, 6, 7 people to properly run these things. And that's not just because of the amount of work. It's also because you just can't have a specialty in all of these things and do them well. So for us, we were able to put all of these things into one platform, and now companies can come to one singular place and get all of what they need and have the transparency across all those channels, how to spend their money, how to get the ROI out of that. And for us, our number one goal is just to make that more transparent and easier for them to make the decisions on how to spend their money most effectively to grow their business. That's who we are. We're a tech company, but we do marketing tech.
Exactly.
And it just so happened that our proof of concept that people actually wanted all this stuff, and also the hardest one to build, was the influencer piece. And that's why we started with that. Okay. The other ones are relatively easier, but the technology to support and the automation and the transparency, that's the stuff that's the secret sauce.
Okay. We're on air with Russell of Hotels, talking to CEO of ZipKick, Jason Will. Jason is kind of running down the, you know, how ZipKick started, where we are now with ZipKick. And now he's going to talk about how you support foodies or food-related organizations or whatever. It kind of just kind of run with that for a second, if you will.
Sure. So my passion has always been for food. And people ask me what my hobby is. My hobby is cook, and I eat the food that I make, right?
Exactly.
Like, if you take a look at my Instagram, which is Jason B. Will, you'll see my face is maybe on there 3 times out of several hundred images, and everything else on there is food.
Yes.
And the reason why food has been a focus is not only because I absolutely love food and experiencing cultures through food, but I truly believe that food and beverage and the ability to bring people together over those things is kind of like a universal language. We might not speak the same language, we might not come from the same place, but we can share a meal together.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this dialogue kind of happening through the food, right? And to me, that's the power of sharing a meal and doing that now with people 24 hours a day on your Instagram or your Twitter or your Facebook or whatever. People are vicariously living through people that are having these types of experiences. And, you know, the world has never been as open and transparent as it is today in terms of sharing and discoverability and things like that. And influencers in general, when I took a road trip across the country last year, I rented a car. I'm sure Enterprise wasn't too happy with me. I picked it up and dropped it off the same place, which entitles you to unlimited miles. So this is a little travel hack for anybody who's in the travel scene that wants to do a road trip. If you pick up and drop a car off in the same place, you get unlimited miles. So I said to myself, I go, wait a second, why don't I just rent a car? And I'll drive across the country and meet as many of these influencers as possible to build a relationship because I love meeting the people in our community. And I stopped in 23 different cities, put 11,000 miles on the car in 60 days. And I'm sure like the car had like probably smoke coming out the back when I dropped it off. But, you know, that's how I look at, you know, building a community, building a company, is that it's all about the relationships that come with it. And it's the same thing that extends into the companies that we help out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So food and beverage is the start, but food and beverage is an integral part of if you get into hospitality companies,
mm-hmm.
lifestyle companies, fashion, beauty companies. Food and beverage is the core to all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't do these things well without nutritious, you know, meals or hydrating products to drink along the way. So just naturally, food and beverage is the gateway to everything else.
Very good. Very good. So, so I look at Zipkick, and I look at your app, which you can download now, correct?
So, yeah. So let's talk about that for a second. So phase two of Zipkick was the recommendation app, okay? The recommendation app has not been the focal point over the last 18 months. The
mm-hmm.
focal point over the last 18 months was building the platform for the brands to be able to deploy this multi-channel marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So the app as a standalone right now is still the discovery app for restaurants, bars, cafes. Think about it as like an alternative to Yelp,
mm-hmm.
But only getting influencer recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the app. But the app in and of itself was just a discovery tool that we had built, and it was able, it allowed us to really assemble a community around the brand. But with that being said, Zipkick is the platform. If you go to zipkick.com, it's the platform. And that's everything that we're focusing on today. It's not the app. The app will come back into the framework probably later this year.
Okay. Okay. So what is this? How'd you get from a few cities? Now, you and I, we, despite going in, you know, you going to the food and I'm, you know, do what I do, we still kept in touch, right? So how do you get to a few cities to being on 6 continents with Zipkick?
It's word of mouth, right? And
mm-hmm.
That's the network effect piece that we talked about at the very beginning.
Could
which
you have
is,
done this without social media?
There's no possible way. And there's no possible way because social media and the ability to grow a business 24 hours a day, 365 mm-hmm. days out of the year, the fact that access to getting your message out there is so much easier today,
mm-hmm.
and it's so much easier to connect with people. So like, for example, we did a event last week in New York. I was out there all week,
okay.
and I was direct messaging some people for a meetup, and they're like, are you actually going to be there? I said, yeah, I'm going to be there. Like, I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's funny to me because when people connect on social media, they like don't believe that either A, you're a real person, or B, that you're actually going to meet at any point mm-hmm. in time in your life, which to me, it's the complete opposite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like my sole intention of social media and building a community is I want to meet every single person that ever has anything to do with Zipkick. And most people do not look at it that way. Because for me, without those relationships, without that ability to actually connect and share a meal and talk about real life things, it's not, it's the meaning isn't as significant as it is as for me. Yeah, it's not easy to drive across the country 11,000 miles and do all this solo and whatnot, but the value that I get out of it is astronomically high. So for that reason, it's pretty exciting.
That's interesting because, I mean, that's one thing that I always, in this industry, the hospitality or specifically hotels and things like that, a lot of people don't understand the power of the social media piece. And it, like I said, there's no way you could have, and you said this, I didn't say this, I asked the question, but you said there's no way you could have grown it without social media. So what do you think, because I think you and I have had this conversation where, you know, old habits are hard to die. What do you think about hospitality industry? I mean, I know you're a tech person, but them embracing the social media piece and how powerful is it? I mean, you're, like I said, a bootstrap company. Well, you're bootstrapped several years ago. Now you've come up significantly, as I can say, okay, because I've seen it. I know where the bodies are buried, so to speak. So what do you think about that?
Well, this is the thing is that there's a book called Crossing the Chasm by Jeffrey Moore. And I recommend that every person, especially people in the hospitality industry, read this book because it talks about phases of adoption of new trends, right? And the way that anything digital, right? So for example, the influencer marketing industry as a whole is still a very small fraction of what's being spent on marketing, okay? To give you kind of an idea, there's something like, I don't know, $73 billion being spent on TV advertising in the U.S. today. As a fraction of like what influencer marketing is, it's not even a drop in the bucket relative to that, okay? And the reason why I bring that up is because that's today, right? That's an industry that's been 10 years old. But fast forward another 10 years from now, those numbers are going to start, you know, switching sides, okay? It's not going to be this way forever. So what I say to people is that do you want to pay 5, 7, 8 times more for the same type of services in a few years from now? Or do you want to get a head start on it now and start to build your footprint? So for me, a couple years ago, when Google redid the indexing for how they do search online, they really started to integrate the social media mentions. And this was just a couple years ago. This is not anything, you know, that was done 10 years ago. But because a brand like ours has over 100,000 mentions just on Instagram alone, companies just can't replicate that overnight, right? So the head start that we have on so many other companies that are trying to build that footprint, it's just not going to happen. It's going to take a long time. It took us nearly 4 years to really build a brand online that people recognize. And that amount of time, people think that you can just buy your way through that. And, well, I'm sure you can, but it's not authentic, right? You can't really fast forward the process of building a community and building relationships and building evangelists for your brand. You really have to make a lot of investments and be patient. And, you know, it, to me, the saying that is literally the epitome of how I live my life is it takes 10 years to be an overnight success. And right now, I'm 6 years into that 10 years, and within the next 4 years, I could only imagine how massive we are going to be at that point in time. But it's because of all the hard work that's been done. It's been the three pivots. It's been the, you know, 15-hour days. It's, you know, the belief in the people on your team and really building everything around a purpose and having something that has just such a deep level of meaning to keep you going when times do get hard.
How many people on your team, and what are some goals for future of ZipKick? Say in the next, by end of the year, because things happen so rapidly with you. So let me just ask, well, if you can even expound on any of that stuff.
So one thing that I can't get into too much detail on, but I'll give a little sneak peek. We're going to be very aggressive on the acquisition path this year. We're identifying companies and have already identified companies that we believe can be very strategic for us. And we're actually going to work with them to come into ZipKick and be part of our entity. And I was in New York last week. We already have the first one identified. We have the second one in the works. And, you know, for us, we know that this is an industry that's incredibly fragmented, and we see the approach as anybody is a potential partner. We don't look at everybody as competition like other companies. I truly believe that an industry that is less than 10 years old, if you're fearful of everybody being your competitor, you really don't understand that we're in a red ocean. That is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as we continue to go on. So we see everybody as a potential partner. And if they have something to add, we want to talk to them, and we want to add value to everybody that we talk with, right? Our clients and potential partners. So for us, we see a lot of consolidation in this industry, and we want to be a part of that.
Cool. What? How many people on your team?
There's 8 of us right now, but a little forward looking statement here. Within the next month or two, we'll double in size.
Really? That now, when I first met you, you were in San Francisco. And then, but you came from Minneapolis. So you went Minneapolis, Chicago, San Francisco. Now you're where?
San Diego at the
moment. The tech mecca of San Diego.
San Diego at the moment. This is the way that I look at location. Location to me is relatively meaningless, because the company is completely location agnostic, right? We run across the world. We have a global community. We have clients. I mean, we're working with Uber Eats in 6 different countries right now. You know, it's just the way that I look at a company, especially a company that's built online, is that you need to constantly be on the move, right? So for me, the reason why location has kind of evolved over the last 8 or 9 years, I do it for myself to get myself out of kind of the day-to-day. And I try to use it as a way to open up my eyes for how to look at things differently. I remember when I went from Minnesota to Chicago, that was my first time outside of Minnesota pretty much my entire life. I mean, I took a couple and things like that, but you don't understand how narrow your lens is on the world when you only know what you know. And for me, getting out of that comfort zone and constantly putting myself in a state of the unknown has helped me grow tremendously as an entrepreneur. And, you know, the other thing that I think has helped me more than anything else is the people on our team have also held each other accountable in moments where they can improve. And to me, that in combination with constantly trying to self-improve just on your own and do things, whether it's health and wellness or reading or, you know, anything to just help yourself evolve as a human and be able to, you know, better serve the people around you and better provide value. It's just, it's allowed us as a company to grow at a rate that I don't think anybody could have foreseen.
Now, those 8 people, are they in San Francisco or are they throughout the U.S., throughout the world?
Yeah, so actually throughout the world. You know, I believe in a company that runs 24 hours a day. So, you know, people that want to have everybody in one physical location does not make sense to me, because a company online should be running 24 hours a day. That's it, right? I mean, the internet doesn't shut off. So why is my company shutting off?
You're right.
Right? So I believe in distributed teams because it allows you to be competitive 24 hours a day. I remember it was, I think it was Mark Cuban or somebody like that, but you know, they were talking about while you're sleeping or while you're taking the weekend off or while you're doing these things, everybody else is trying to knock you off. And, you know, I think about that, and I think that's a reality. You know, we have a lot of people that are coming after us to try to take business from us, right? Why do you think they're advertising against us on Google, right?
You
know,
makes sense.
The reality of it is that, you know, either you're going to be the first one to get to the cafeteria and eat your lunch, or somebody else is going to step in front of you and eat your lunch, right? And that's just the reality of creating a business. So, you know, I'm just a very, very competitive person. I don't turn off ever, and I don't want to turn off. And
I can agree with that. You can call Jason or text Jason any time of the darn day, and he's going to respond to you. I'm like, dude, you know, I just do it just to test you, just to see if you're actually going to, you know, pick up. But he picks up, and if he can't pick up, he'll let you know that, you know, I'm right in the middle of a call, things like that, and I'll hit you back. And he always does.
I try to. As I get older, my memory gets a little lapsed, but I try.
Oh, you're doing it. You're doing it the way which works for you, and that's a good thing. And that really, I mean, seriously, I mean, people I've met, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago,
Not many people make impacts, you know, because I come through a lot of people.
Right.
Right. And only a few of those people I've met, I still keep in touch with. And, and it's energy, you know, starting a business is about energy, good energy, right? And being passionate about what you're doing and focused. And you have all those things. And I know nothing but great things are going to be happening. And that's why you're on this show. I mean, you know, it's funny. We hadn't talked for, I don't know, a month or so, a couple of months. And then I think you heard about the show or saw it. He's like, hey, what are you? You gone Hollywood on me? That's the first thing he said. So, but yeah, Jason's a good guy. Okay. What about, okay, you're in Japan for 3 weeks. How's running a business from another country? How does that work?
Well, when all your meetings are on Pacific, Central, and Eastern time, it's not easy. And it was actually my first time to Asia in general.
Okay.
And again, it's that, you know, get yourself out of the box, right? If you're building a global company, you better know culturally what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel I try very, very hard to culturally connect with people. Like, I try to learn a little bit about the cuisines, try to know a few words, a few of the nuances that really are specific to that culture. I really try to, you know, dig in and learn those things. But being in Japan, I think the hardest thing was really a combination of three things, which was the 15-hour time zone difference from Pacific time.
Mm-hmm.
That was first and foremost. Mm-hmm. The second being that my calls were anywhere between 5 in the morning and 6:30, 7 a.m. in the morning most often. And it was just, I didn't know culturally that it was, you know, rude to speak inside of a cafe or these public places that people are trying to have real conversations. But
Okay. You
think about it and you say to yourself, that's actually probably the way it should be, right?
Yeah.
Is that people should be, you know, off their phones and mm-hmm. people should be off of these things and they should just be enjoying each other's presence and having a normal face-to-face.
That's not the American way.
It's not the American way, right? And I've realized, you know, as I start to travel, the American way isn't really the way that the rest of the world necessarily, you know, adopts or even sees as the norm,
mm-hmm.
Which is probably why, you know, people in the States, it's very beneficial for them to travel to these other places and just learn kind of the cultural norms that exist.
Yeah.
And so I went out there for 3 weeks. It was way colder than I thought it was going to be in December. Not that I thought like anything would be colder than Minnesota in the winter, but it was awfully cold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was taking calls from outside of these cafes and things like that because I didn't want to be rude speaking on my phone next to everybody in the cafe. But it's awfully cold outside, right? Like, if you have a 30-minute call, I was getting it down to, like, 10 or 15 minutes just so I could, like, get back inside and warm up. But, you know, it's those sort of things. It's the jet lag. It's the waking up at random hours of the day. But the one thing that was so hard for me to adjust to was they still allow for smoking inside of the bars and restaurants.
Hmm.
And because that's been, like, so out of our fabric of American culture for many years now. Like, mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time I've been in a place that's smoking inside, right?
Yes.
And now it's like 15, 30 feet even from the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
But I got quite sick when I got there, like just allergy-wise, mm-hmm. because the amount of smoking inside of the bars and the restaurants were just way beyond. And it wasn't ventilated well enough for you to like not really notice it. And it could be the person right next to you. And mm-hmm. it's actually rude for you to tell them not to smoke because it's like culturally accepted to do it. And so I think that was kind of the biggest challenge for me. The rest of the stuff you can deal with, but the smoking inside the bars and restaurants, it just hasn't been a thing in my life for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So to experience that for the first time, it was quite challenging.
Cool. Now, okay, when I first met you, you were bootstrap, meaning whatever you made, you put right back into the company. Now, I know that, you know, coming up with apps, and there's millions of apps that are out there, and they all cost money. How is Zipkick able to get funding for your app?
Well,
or for your company?
I think the part that investors, when we talk to them, because we just opened up a round a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So we opened up $1 million round a couple weeks ago, and we're actively talking to investors right now. And the one consistent theme that we hear from investors more often than not is that you run an incredibly efficient operation. Well, when you don't have a ton of money and you're bootstrapped and you're raising money from friends and family, I treat every dollar as if it was coming out of my pocket, right? No matter who I got the dollar from,
mm-hmm.
all of this kind of stuff. And people also don't understand, like, I took a big loan out against my house in Minnesota, and I've done a lot of things with my personal assets to put them on the line and at risk for the sake of the company. Mm. I'm all in. There's nobody who's going to be more all in terms of what they're willing to put forward than I am. I'll leverage everything that I've personally created to make this company a success. And when the investors see that, they really are intrigued that, you know, you can run such an efficient operation and you're willing to literally leverage everything that you have in your personal assets in order to do that. They respect you for that, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's the difference between somebody who's been in entrepreneurship now for several years, is that we know what we're doing. And we have a business that provides value, and we have great relationships, and we're building something that is really the first of its kind. So, you know, we have the confidence in what we're doing is the right thing. And we see the industry as a very untapped place right now. Marketing is the Wild West. Mm-hmm. People don't really know how to do it effectively. And people are looking for a faster, better, efficient way to deploy their funds. And they need a singular place to do that. And that's what Zipkick provides to a lot of these companies, agnostic really of the industry. Right. The only thing that we really, outside of the influencer piece, but we serve food, beverage, lifestyle, health and wellness, fashion, beauty. We even got into pets. You know, like all of this kind of stuff has evolved out of the influencer piece. And we're just, you know, we're really excited for what we have in our positioning. And I just see unbelievable things happening in our future.
So you're really not sure where you're going.
I know where we're going. We're going to the top, but
okay. Oh, I know you're going to the top, but as far as, I mean, because Zipkick is a tool for any industry. It's not just for hospitality. It's not for, I mean, you mentioned food, you mentioned pets, you mentioned
that's been our focus, right? Our focus from the very beginning was food and beverage.
Okay,
but all of these downstream things have been a byproduct of that focus, right? Mm-hmm. So you have companies that are technically in food and beverage, right? But they want to feed pets, right? Okay. Pet food, right? Yeah.
Oh, life, still food and beverage, right?
There you go.
They got to eat too.
But like, for example, tomorrow I'm going to the Natural Products Expo, which will be here for the next 4 days.
Okay.
And I remember going to the Natural Product Expo 4 or 5 years ago. And okay, I saw a lot of products and things like that. But last year specifically, there was like organic pet food and all sorts of stuff. And like, I shipped it home to my parents' dog so that he could have it. But the thing is that you start to see the evolution. At the end of the day, if you're creating a product, right, and that product has a consumer on the other side, it's part of what you need to do in order to reach them is to figure out your marketing solution, right? So it all goes one and the same. Our focus has always been on the marketing technology, and the industry was hyper-focused on food and beverage when we built the company. But now, because we've done that and people know us for that, they go, okay, can you also help me with health and wellness? Because health and wellness works hand in hand with food and beverage.
Exactly.
Oh, can you also help me with lifestyle? Because me drinking my green smoothie is part of my lifestyle every single day. So can we get involved, right? So if you just do good work and you have the best of intentions when you do them, more and more people are going to want to be a part of that. And they're going to want to refer you to other people. And here we are.
Wow. Very good. Very good. We're on with Zipkick. We're on air with Russell Fotels, CEO Jason Will of Zipkick fame. Known this guy for a couple years, and now he's just breaking down everything for us so we can put it in bite-sized pieces so we can understand exactly what Zipkick does and what it's all about. We are winding down here on air with Russell Fotels, live from, where are we? Sherman Oaks, California. Not a beautiful sunny day, but it's kind of overcast. If you had to ask me a question, Jason, I always give, you know, people, you know, you're off the hot seat now. You know, if you had to ask me a question, or if I, you know, open the floor to open to ask me a question, what would you ask me, Jason?
Well,
make sure it's not too hard.
Because you come from the hospitality industry, what are the questions that you're getting from the hospitality professionals about marketing that they find as their biggest challenges? Because this is the insight that somebody like me really needs my pulse on so that we can build products around these needs. But the hospitality industry, to me, they're not quite up to the present day, but I feel that they want to get there. So what's going to help them bridge that gap?
That's a good question. I mean, we've been using the same tools, and please, hospitality, hotel people, or tourism people,
You can always russell@russellofhotels.com is my email address. You can always ask me questions or say, what the heck, you're way off on that. But what I think is that, I mean, we're stuck in doing things that we did 20 years ago. So I can only speak from my own experience. When it comes to things like social media, or a constant presence with social media, and if you're doing it internally, meaning it does not cost you any money, right? I don't think they've embraced that enough. Let's just start with that first. Let's start with that piece.
But why, though? I think that's the part that I
think because they don't understand. Because you have a lot of people that come up doing the same marketing tools, if that's print advertising, if that's maybe they're doing some, they think they can do radio or TV, but really they're not going after the right audience. I mean, it's all about who's your audience and who you're trying to get in the door for the most part. And I think that that it's a hard time of trying to, target that specific person to do that. But we also do things as far as it's called Travel Click is a tool they use, and it's basically online towards travel agents specifically, travel agents or anyone within that travel space that you're trying to,
sure,
you know, because travel agents, they book a lot for hotels. Let's just use hotels for example. So you want to make sure it's on their screen. And so when they punch up LA and they say, okay, LA, there's enhanced listings. Like, okay, it's darker than other. Okay, the XYZ hotel in Sherman Oaks has, you know, they have a rate and it includes breakfast. Okay, well, it's enhanced because, I mean, now it's dark. It's highlighted, so I can see that.
Sure.
So we put a lot of money into things like that because it's been proven before. Is it still proven now? Are you still selling to the same people? Are they buying down?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But when you talk about social media and, you know, putting things out there, I mean, some hotels do a good job of it. And most of the hotels that do a good job of it are those boutique hotels,
right,
the smaller independent hotels.
Because they understand that there's a brand identity that's unique to the marketplace.
And they understand they're behind the eight ball, too, and they don't have the resources that the bigger, you know, your Marriotts, your Hiltons, and all those don't have. But see, one other thing is that you think because you spend X amount of dollars, if you're a big branded property, they charge you X amount of percentage off your revenue for marketing purposes.
Sure, that the corporate actually runs.
Corporate, right? But those are for national programs that are going on.
Right.
It's not for your property specific. So one thing that's missing is that people think, well, I gave 3% a year.
And now it's just taken care of.
Exactly, that should be taken care of.
Right.
But they don't think about, well, it's a brand within a brand, okay? If I'm the XYZ Hotel in Sherman Oaks and there's another XYZ Hotel in Universal City, we're two different properties, right?
Right.
So we have to act like we're one separate entity.
But not only that, but business. I mean, if I was in Sherman Oaks or I was in downtown LA, mm-hmm, based on the amenities around me, based on the location to maybe the interstate or parking or any of this other kind of stuff, like every property is uniquely different.
Every property
and
is unique.
So first of all, you have every property that's uniquely different, right? There's I mean, even if you have Marriott, right, across the board, uniform, whatever, mm-hmm, Marriott from one location to the other inherently has a completely different brand identity.
Exactly.
Okay, that's first and foremost. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that every single person that controls a budget at a property is kind of their own entrepreneur, right? They
that's
have their own little business that
that's
they run, right?
Exactly.
And so if I went to them and I said, okay, for this $20,000 that you're spending, let's say on the billboard down the street, okay, that you really can't qualify any data off that billboard at all. Okay. Like I know it's cute and it's there and it's visible and I can see it and I know it's mm-hmm, quote unquote working. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. But if I could go to them and say, hey, I could reach 100 times as many people for 1/5 of the cost of you having that billboard, and I'll give you all the data behind it and show you exactly how many people saw it, how many people clicked on it, how many people went to your website and actually made a purchase. That's the data that you need as a business owner to make smart, intuitive decisions around where to put your money, right? And if they don't evolve, you're losing a lot of insight into how you're performing as a business, right? It's that whole saying of like what gets tracked gets watched, mm-hmm, right? So like if you're tracking the data and you truly have the data, not the billboard guy who's saying, oh, there's a million cars that drive past. Well, are they a million cars of people that only want to spend $150 on a hotel and you charge $250?
Exactly.
Well, they're not your target population, right?
Exactly.
So not only can I get in front of the qualified people, but I can get in front of them at a rate that you cannot compete with in other forms of marketing and give you all the data and give you all the interaction and do all of this. Like to me, there's absolutely no reason why the answer should be no, right? Zipkick related or not, I just think that there needs to be a shift in the thinking and the qualification of the data that then allows you to feel comfortable about spending the money, right? So because of, you know, being on your show and things like that, the one thing I would ask is that the people that are in this environment want to have a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Have a conversation about it, right? Mm-hmm. The conversation's free.
Yeah.
Have a conversation about it, right? It's not going to cost you anything other than the fact that you get to learn more about the data that you get to take a look at, exactly. Right? So I just think if you start with an open mind, I mean, it's unbelievable what could happen after that.
I like it. I love it. See, you heard it here on Air with Russell Hotels. Jason Will has spoken. But yeah, so I'll make sure I get your information and put it on the site because I do kind of like show notes and things like that.
Sounds good.
With your email and things like that, contact information on there as well. So, I mean, I just hope this piques some conversation. We go a little further in it because, like you said, I mean, that's you should at least listen to what's going on. I mean, if you're talking metrics and things like that, things that are proven, things you can read, things you can see, it makes no sense not to try it,
right,
to me. But like I said, it's something a little different, and I'm not trying, like I said, some people do it right, and the ones that do it right, those are the most successful hotels.
It's incredible, though, what they can do with the amount of money they have, right?
Exactly.
And then if you know that the foundation of what you're spending already is going down by a third or a fourth or a fifth, you can now take some guesses and try new things and do some other activations or get, you know, other people involved with the remaining budget that you do now have, right? Like, I truly believe that every single property should have an influencer program in place where they have people stay at their hotel. If they have an on-site chef or a restaurant or something that they can work with, get behind the scenes and see how they prep the meals and see where they source the ingredients from and how it gets to the plate that hits the table. And every single property should be empowering their employees, whether it's the chef, whether it's it could be the person that oversees the pool or the nightlife activities or whatever it is. Get these people involved and showcase what they do. Right? You know, how much more meaning would you have in your day-to-day if somebody recognized what you do, right?
Behind the scenes.
100%. I mean, without these people that work on every facet of the hotel, you would never have a fully functioning hotel if all these pieces did not come together, right? Exactly. And every single one of those is critical to the operation, all the way down to the people in housekeeping or guest services or anything else. And, you know, this sort of stuff needs to be highlighted, and that's part of your brand identity.
Exactly.
So show it.
Wow.
Don't keep them behind the curtains.
I didn't have to say that. Somebody from the outside industry that's supporting us said that. So, and then obviously somebody that travels a lot that can speak and speak intelligently of that or on that. So, yeah, so that makes sense. So we're going to wind down here. But one thing that resonated with what you said, especially because a lot of restaurants and even within hotels, they talk about this farm to table kind of thing.
Right.
Like you said, you mentioned something. Well, how do we know that it's farm to table? But if you highlighted that on social media somehow,
correct.
I mean, there's no guessing at that point. You can see it is there. Like, okay, they actually mean what they say.
Right.
It's not just something just lip service because everyone says, oh, farm to table, this and that, you know, oh, okay. All right. Well, what the heck does that really mean? But if you actually see it, or see that our guest service scores are this, you know, you got guests that want to talk online, you know,
right.
That I mean, that shows a lot right there. If you're willing to talk to a guest and you know that your scores are high, if that's TripAdvisor scores or if that's your guest service scores that every major hotel has to do, that highlights that stuff. So
yep,
man, we can, you know what, we need to do another show. Listen, we need to do another one.
But I appreciate it. And I hope that this at least opens up the conversation for people that have interest in evolving their property, evolving what they can offer their guests, you know, evolving just their messaging to an audience. You know, hopefully it helps at least open up that dialogue.
Yes, sir. Well, we're going to thank Jason Will, of CEO of Zipkick. Please go to zipkick.com. You can get more information about that. I'll make sure I put his contact information on as well. We thank you so much for joining in with us. I can't do it alone, so I do appreciate the support that I get from you guys. Shout out to my mom and dad, Blythe, California. I know they're on their way back to Blythe from the desert. Well, the desert. Blythe is a desert. But the Palm Springs area, they're going back to Blythe. So safe travels to you, too. We'll talk to you later. And we will join. Please join me next week. We're on live 1 to 2 p.m. every Tuesday. So take care. Have a great day, great week, and be safe.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.